Are you nervous about the show? You tend to get nervous.
I just spent the last 4 minutes in the bathroom.
Throwing up?
What were you doing?
I was throwing up.
This isn't even your house.
I know.
That's kind of inappropriate.
Well, let me introduce the show, and then we'll introduce the show.
Okay, sounds good.
We're going to do it. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
Two times.
Twice. Ready?
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Shide Show.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Hey, all right.
My name is Brian Gerard. I'm alongside Gregory Hoyt.
Oh, good evening, ladies.
And, of course, Robert Scheid.
Hello, ladies.
And
all about the ladies right now.
It is.
We used to say hi to the ladies and gentlemen.
We did, but, you know, I feel like the ladies aren't getting enough love.
That's right.
So both of you have fully isolated the gentlemen.
Gentlemen.
Listeners.
All right, fine. Yeah. Welcome, gentlemen. But we have somebody else here, gentleman.
We do have a gentleman.
That's right.
Who's here? Who's here with us?
We have the gentlest of all the gentlemen with us this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Carl Nakamura.
Oh!
Thank you. I like the gentleman part.
You're a very gentle man.
You are indeed. Carl Nakamura. Man, we've done improv together in the past, haven't we?
Yeah.
How many shows do you think that we've done together?
Wow. I can't even imagine.
Like 100?
I would think at least.
Yeah. At least, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Shit, we've done some crazy things on stage, haven't
That's
we?
True. That's true.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you think of anything specifically that you remember?
Robert, I was talking to Robert about it, and the last thing we were talking about is the poor farmer and the rich farmer.
Oh, that's right.
Poor and rich farmer, yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah, Carl had a... I'm over in my side of the stage, and my farm is completely filled with rocks. It is the worst experience ever, and I'm looking over, and Carl is having a wonderful time plowing his field.
And as he moved along, I got richer and richer, and Robert was just more and more filled with envy and despair.
It was a wonderful scene.
It signified Robert's life.
I guess so.
It did.
It really is a metaphor, extended metaphor. Certainly. Yeah.
I didn't have to pull too far, go too deep in the acting world to get that.
Art really does imitate life.
It does. Now, Carl, you didn't start off as an actor. What did you start off as?
I started off as an artist.
As an artist. So what did you do? You draw, you paint?
I did mostly drawing, and I did a lot of printmaking, which is weird for most people because they don't know what that is.
Well, what is that?
But it is drawing in metal.
Whoa.
Wow.
Drawing in metal. So you would like etching, or do you take metal and you
etching,
like,
engraving,
make shapes?
So if you blow it on something like that, you've really blown it.
Yeah.
There's no erasing your pencil.
Well, there is erasing, but then it's a lot of work.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of work with scrapers and burners and making it smooth.
Oh,
and
holy cow.
Making it smooth.
That's what she said.
You know what I'm saying?
Why did she say? Oh, okay.
She wants to make it smooth.
Oh, that's nice.
She doesn't blow it?
She didn't see it.
She doesn't blow it.
No. Okay. So these etchings, what was on them? What goes on the metal?
Whatever you want. For me, it was mostly figurative.
Oh, wow.
Figurative.
So figures.
Figures, basically.
That's cool.
Figures and relationship.
And where does that work actually play? Like, how did you make money?
I was a student at that time.
Okay.
And also, I never really had to make money off of it until much later in life. Because they hired me as a teacher, so I taught there for 2 years.
Sweet.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's sweet.
Yeah. And then I had to leave.
You had to.
No, I didn't have to.
They were like, you need to
leave.
They
kicked him out. Carl, you're too aggressive with the students.
No.
The figures you're drawing on the metal are just disgusting and
unacceptable. I'm a gentleman, don't you know?
That's gentleman.
Gentleman.
Yeah. The only thing I did that's even... this was the 60s, so it wasn't inappropriate.
Okay, go ahead.
Back in the 60s.
But now it'd be inappropriate is that I slept with the nude model.
That's not inappropriate at all. There's nothing inappropriate about that. If there's a nude model there, you must sleep with them.
Now, was this nude model, or was this a life drawing class, or was this an etching class?
No, this was a figure drawing.
It was figure drawing.
Yeah,
okay.
I wasn't actually teaching the class, but I knew her because she was part of the department.
Uh-huh. So,
Okay.
Wow.
The other two nude models actually were my roommates. There was a guy and there was a girl, and they were my roommate.
Gotcha.
But the faculty member.
No, she wasn't a faculty member. She was part of this loose girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And
it was the 60s.
It was the 60s. We were all loose.
You guys were all loose. Yeah. You're shooting everything everywhere.
Loose cannons.
Everywhere, right. Going all over the place. Right.
And she was the first. I'm really grateful to her because she was the first person that made me feel comfortable about it.
Oh, really?
Wow.
Yeah. What was her name? Do you remember? Or is she a faceless?
I don't remember. Yeah, she's not faceless.
She's not faceless. You have a face.
But maybe not a name. Yeah.
But not a name.
A name.
Yeah. It's okay.
It's probably better that he's not saying.
I think
name.
Most of the people that Brian slept with, you probably couldn't even remember their faces. Is that true?
That's because she was covering their faces with a pillow.
Or a bag.
Yeah.
That's funny. That's funny. Both you guys are really funny.
Thanks, bud.
Funny guys.
Thanks.
I remember everyone and everything.
What does that mean?
And I've a part of me has loved everyone I've ever been with.
Whoa.
Wow. That's
okay. Really so right now your emotional core is just chipped away.
Scattered all over the world.
Shattered glass.
I agree with Brian, though.
Haven't you loved
everybody you slept with?
Everybody.
I mean, at least at the time?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
For that
I wouldn't
moment.
Do it. For that time, that yes,
agreed.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For that moment, there's a part of me. They got it. They got a part of me.
Right.
And they'll have it for the rest of their lives.
Who knows? We have similar.
Yeah.
You, might have shared. You might have cross-pollinated.
That's true.
Now, here's the thing, though, Carl. You probably have slept with probably 200, 300, 400 people.
You know,
I think you have a misconception about the 60s.
That may be true.
No, no.
Oh, my God.
No doubt.
You're my fucking hero.
No, really.
No doubt about it.
It was the 60s.
Yeah.
I wish I was.
It was the 60s.
Except for all the bad. Oh, there was no
AIDS. You usually slept with people before you became friends with them.
Yeah.
Wow. God.
Usually,
Greg.
That's how you hand. You, it was instead of a handshake.
Oh.
Right. Exactly.
Good sex.
Exactly. I mean, if you wanted to get to know somebody, that's how you did it. And then you would know. If you want to continue as a friend. Or as a sex partner.
Oh, my God.
Sex partner for life.
I'm stressing out.
Yeah, I believe that. Plus, it was San Francisco, so the volume was up even more.
Yeah, and then it was, you know, free in both ways. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So your numbers wouldn't reach that high.
Yeah, they would get higher. But nowadays, we're so afraid of AIDS and all that bullshit.
Oh, that I understand, yeah.
Yeah,
I
you're just like, fuck it. I'm going to play it really safe.
Yeah.
Or as safe as you possibly can.
I mean, if I lived during that time, I would probably be in the 700, 800, 900 range.
Probably.
Oh, God, yeah, and right now.
Because I was conservative in comparison.
You know, at 300, Carl Nakamura was conservative.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. If I grew up in the 60s, I would have no job. I would have never done anything with my career. I would be laying in a bed all day long for the last 10 years.
Quote, unquote, meeting people.
Yeah, making new friends.
Or no, it's a friend. Audition, apparently.
Yeah, it's like, not even.
You know what?
Not everyone makes the cut.
Exactly.
Ooh, that was not good. We are not going to be friends.
Sorry. I mean,
get out of my house. Get out of my bed.
This is an pre-digital Facebook. You know, you test to see if you're going to friend somebody.
So we had more fun.
You friend them.
Much more tangible.
Yeah.
My heart is hurting right now. I'm longing for something that I feel like primordially I'm missing something, and it's what you're referring to right now, and it's tugging at my heartstrings.
Free love.
Free love, man.
Do you think that we would ever get back to that time?
No.
Never?
No.
Well, no. I mean, I would never say never, but certainly not under this banner.
Well, okay, Carl, did you feel that was in some way, at any point, was it more painful relationship-wise? Or was it something that wasn't even a consideration? Because, I mean, there have to be some negative elements, or we would think there would have to be some sort of negative elements with it.
I don't remember negative elements.
Really?
I do remember complicated relationships.
Okay, so things
lots
were more complicated.
Lots and lots of complicated relationships.
What does that mean, complicated relationships?
I was... this female model I'm talking about was great looking.
Yeah.
She was married.
Oh, boy.
One night, you know, this always happened. We would all be stoned and people went home and I was falling asleep.
You pretended? Were you?
No, I was actually asleep and I started to wake up and I could hear her having sex with somebody else.
Yeah.
So then I had to pretend to be asleep.
Oh, and kind of just
you were
take
trapped.
It.
You were trapped.
Yeah, and I was in that position a lot.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah, so it got to be where I got to know about all these relationships.
Sure. now in
I
that
was a
scenario,
conservative one.
You were a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
And he was the conservative one at 300.
Yeah.
Partners. Right.
These other people are just
they're like
rolling,
in the thousands,
like rolling off one person, rolling onto another,
onto
person.
Another. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I? Oh no, this will work out.
Okay.
Never mind.
We're friends.
Now, Was that difficult for you hearing that because you had had a little closer, or you were thinking of a closer relationship with her, or no?
No. I never thought of her that way. She was like a sexual superstar, that woman. She was very attractive.
Man. Wow.
She had the perfect 60s body. She had a great face, the big nose. She really pretty.
Oh, wow.
And she had a straight up and down. Oh, like, yeah. She was like Twiggy, except a little bigger boobs.
Okay.
So it made her...
Greg.
It made her the perfect 60s girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Long hair.
Greg.
People just loved her. I mean...
Yeah.
I'm with you.
We would have visiting artists from New York City and all these people, and they would always pick up on her.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because she looked that time.
Yeah. But also, let me see your hands, Greg. Hands on the table.
Also, at one point, I had to move to Denver for a short while, and I was roommates with her husband.
I
was still roommates back in college with her and the guy she was sleeping with.
Oh, no.
So every weekend I went back, I had to.
You would see that. You would experience that.
Yeah, and they
had to pretend that you.
And they actually, it blew up into where everybody knew.
Yeah.
So I was. Every week they were trying to find out about.
You were the mouthpiece.
He was the middle man.
So how did that play out? What was the end result of that relationship?
Murder, suicide.
No. The best thing about it is that I ended up friends with all of them.
Oh, you did.
Because I was very cautious.
And what happened with the couple? The married couple.
Divorce or?
No, when I left. It was still happening when I left.
Still working it out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Marriage is a complicated thing.
Yeah, I'm sure now they've stopped. I think they met when they were in high school. First love kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And I think she was finding the world just blooming.
Well, it sounds to me like for a lot of people back then, the marriage wasn't quite such a tough covenant, or at least, you know, like, hey, I'm getting married so that we can have sex. That didn't really matter because people were having sex all over.
I think marriage was really
it was still sacred
thing, but
it still was.
Sleeping
okay.
with each other didn't mean like
what it does now.
Yeah, I think so. I don't know what it means.
Where do you
like
think
that
switch came from? How did that? What happened?
The 80s,
AIDS.
Yeah, because that's true. If you know, that means that your activities could physically harm your partner.
Could kill
your partner.
Right.
And that you know, took it up another notch. Yeah.
That's when it changed.
Yeah.
It then became not only like irresponsible,
it wasn't just like, hey, honey, I'm going out bowling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas in bowling, you mean bowling your pin into someone else.
Making love had a different feeling to it.
Yeah. There wasn't that fear, I bet.
Yeah, because if you were, and it was hard. It was hard for somebody who grew up in the 60s to try to pull back.
Sexual
habits are really hard.
I mean, if you're
used to doing that, it's really hard to
suddenly be like, oh, I can't do this.
And
now.
So I think it took a long time for people of my generation to actually change. So we never really, you know, we finally got there. But along the way, lovemaking got a little weird because if you were still fooling around, you were worried about giving a death sentence to somebody you love.
Yeah,
that's
and so it was a it had put a double
thing
name,
over your head.
A double thing in your head. Yeah.
How did you switch? How did you do that? Like, were you being conservative, but like, what was that like for you?
It took a while. You know, because there was a blossoming of sex houses.
Oh,
you know, Plato's and all these other places
where you could just go and there
you
were just
people. Go and people went there to have sex.
Oh, I saw a documentary on Plato's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there were lots of the stuff, especially in cities.
In the cities.
So you could go, like if you were...
So it's a sex club. Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Like you just go and you have sex?
And you didn't really have to ask. I mean, you know, I mean, there was also rooms where you could go and just have an orgy, but I never liked that. But you would see somebody like it, you just get up there and you would touch them and feel them, and if they didn't say anything bad, you just would continue.
You just keep going.
Yeah.
Now, is this for money or just for
not for money.
Incredible.
No, you go to a club. It's like going to L Bar.
Yeah.
Except
and it was open all night, so you could go
whenever.
Wait, so there was no cover either, no cover charge?
No. Some of them had
cover charge.
Yeah.
You would pay to get in.
Well, you want to keep the riffraff.
And some of them had memberships. And some of them actually had memberships where you actually had to stand back and they had to take a look at you. And I thought that was really, really sad. Because if you were like too heavy, or you were like too ugly.
Those clubs must still exist on some level today.
I bet.
I bet they do.
I don't know.
When I first moved to L.A., I was dating this girl, and she's this really well-known newscaster, and she was a lot older than me. And I met her in this acting class, and she kind of took me under her wing, and we went on a few dates. At one point, she showed me that she had a loaded pistol under her pillow. Oh, it was very, it was a very intense period of time for me. I was 20 fucking 3 years old or something like that.
Welcome
she was
to
like
LA.
36, mm-hmm. And I, yeah. But she called me one night. I had dated this, I started dating this other girl. And she called me one night and was like, look, I'm going to Malibu with a few of my girlfriends. And this is one of the biggest regrets of my life right now. Mm. She goes, I'm going to Malibu with like three of my girlfriends. And we're going to a sex party. Do you want to go? And I was like so horrified. I mean, you know, I was really new to L.A.
Sure.
I was like, oh, I can't. Because I was kind of dating this new girl. So I'm like a really, you know, old school kind of. Like if I'm doing the one thing, I'm doing the one thing. Yeah. I'm not able
to. Yeah, that's why I couldn't have group.
Right, right. So there you go. Same kind of thing. Yeah. But so the and I won't name the person who was having the sex party. I won't name any of the people. But the person who was having a sex party was a famous... Like a real famous reporter.
Wow.
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? She's like, no, man. It's going down. And later this person, the person who was having the sex party, had a major public meltdown like 3 months after I got this invite.
Wow.
But I always wish that I had gone. Like not to
experience
go.
It.
Not to go do anything. I would have been too afraid. Like the fear runs deep in
me,
Carl. I
think you could be afraid for a little.
You were going to Marv Albert's place, weren't you?
No. But not a bad guess.
It was Brian Gumbel.
But like how stupid was I not to just be like, yeah, come pick me up in your BMW convertible. I'll take a ride out to the PCH and watch this madness go down.
Watch it. You would have been part of it.
No, I'm saying, man. I don't think I would.
Fear runs deep.
You would have been too afraid.
I feel the same way.
Yeah.
Like, because you were brought up with that specter of AIDS.
Oh, Carl. Oh, Carl.
We're brought up with a level. We, our generation, certainly differing in your generation, was brought up with a high level of fear
to even touch anybody.
Yeah.
But I think that being put in that primordial ooze of a situation, you might lose your mind and just go and go primal on it.
Maybe.
I think you would. I think it would be hard for any human being to being put directly in that situation.
And actually going in
to really just be like, no, I'm cool. I'm just going to sit back and watch. When you're probably – you have to physically peel people off of you.
Right. By the way, you know what? I do know for a fact that there are still sex clubs that are running. They're called swingers clubs.
Really?
And you can go there. Yeah. And I've seen them before. Yeah. Hmm. I've never been in one, but they have – I know in San Francisco they had them.
Really?
Because I know of people who went.
Wow.
And you pay to go. It's the same thing. And if you go as a couple, you pay less, meaning you're
bringing a girl. What are we talking about? $20 cover here, or $100?
It can be more than that. I think I think it may have been like $50 for the couple, and then if it's just a guy, then it's like $100 or something because they don't want the whatever. They don't want the odds to be off in one way or the other. They don't want just a bunch of guys going to watch, or I don't even know.
Right.
Too much sweeping up, really.
Mopping up. Hopefully they're not using a broom.
Is it really?
No, they only broom.
What comes out? Dust? I don't know.
Yeah, sawdust. What comes out for you?
Magic pixie dust.
You might want to get that checked out.
Isn't that what it is?
It looks like glitter. Sugar glitter.
Oh, man.
It looks the best under green light.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Carl, when I was growing up, I had one of my friends, my best friend's moms, tell me that if I was French kissing a girl, I could get AIDS.
Wow.
And I believed it because I was, you know, 15 years old. And
I'll tell you why.
An older woman, an adult, was telling me that.
I'll tell you why. I know why.
Why?
I saw a picture of you recently. You had braces, didn't you?
Yeah.
So if you had cut up the shit out of your mouth, then you would have gotten it right away.
Of all the HIV-positive teenagers in Amesbury, Massachusetts.
Hey, man, you never know.
You never know.
That's the problem, is you never knew what you were getting into.
Yeah. So scary. So scary.
Now, when I think of Carl Nakamura, I also think of Love Guru.
Mm-hmm.
You always have sage advice with relationships and love.
That's true.
Gives you you've lived a life of love.
I have actually.
You have.
I feel like it.
You're a lucky son of a bitch.
The current relationship that you're in right now. How long have you been in that relationship?
You know, I think, I don't know.
It's so
36, 37 years.
37 years. That's amazing.
You know how old I am? Not that old.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
wow. So, what were you going to ask something, or just
I just wanted to speak to Carl about his being a man of love, if you were to give advice for young people today,
like me,
on love,
or Brian or Robert,
yeah.
Well, you know,
what would that be?
I
what
think
those
it's
words
so different, like what you guys were talking about, because when we were growing up, there was so much freedom and attitude toward love. So
yeah.
You actually, you know, were free to express who you were, and you really did.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then, like I said, the lady that I slept with was the first woman that I slept with that made me feel really comfortable about sex.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
And what she did was she made me not realize, she made me realize that I didn't have to be the performer, masculine person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I didn't have to know everything and
right.
be a performance whiz or anything.
You guys could go through it together and figure it out.
Yeah, and she's just funny. She'd laugh and, you know,
comfortable. Yeah.
It was comfortable. There wasn't all this pressure.
Yeah.
And because she made me feel comfortable about sex, I think that's what made me realize that I was gay.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Because it was like...
Because you were able to let go.
I was able to let go and be free about sex without feeling... I think the hardest thing for me growing, I mean, I didn't know I was gay before until much older.
Yeah.
But it was like the feeling that I always had to be somebody I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
I always had to know everything.
Because
in that period, that's what a guy was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's still like that now, probably.
Yeah. I think there's an element of that.
Absolutely. I think every guy wants to be able to go in and perform like a porn star. But the girls in reality don't want you to be performing like a porn star.
But we think that.
But we think that.
We think that because we watch porn.
Yeah.
And we see these images.
Right. Yeah.
And we're like, oh, that's what it is. And until you really have those encounters and those experiences.
I'm going to tear this up. And I don't
You
tear
realize that that
up,
is...
Please.
That's all dog shit. Like no girl wants to be treated like that. No one wants to be in an intimate relationship like that.
Unless they do, and then that's part of it. But you find that together. You don't go in there blasting away. And,
You
know. Yeah. And that's what she taught me.
And then choke the girl. Like, hey, you like this, right?
But there are girls who do like that.
They do. I know.
So the thing is, there is freedom to express yourself sexually however you want.
But it seems to be like this overall, the underlying tone of all of it is like to feel supported in being fully expressed.
What's that comfort?
And whoever you are.
Right.
It's the comfort of who you're with as well. Yeah. I think that might play a role in it. You know, just sort of the freedom that you expressed in the 60s was a freedom that came from a comfort of not having to care about certain things, right? Whether it was, what am I going to say to them tomorrow? Because you might say to them tomorrow, you know, let's not be friends.
Yeah.
And you're okay with that. But today, I think that you're much more aware of those things.
Huh.
Like today, if you have sex with somebody, it's a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Okay, so it means something
it's a
right
big
away.
Thing. Yeah,
well, for me, it does. For me, it does. I am not the kind of person that I don't think I'd be able to just go and have sex with somebody just to go and have sex with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know. These guys know that. They tried to send me to Europe to just go have sex with a bunch of
guys. I still think
part
you should
of,
have
part
done
of
that.
The issue.
You still should have issue. Gotten mad. You really okay. should have
all
done
right.
that.
All right.
Part of the issue. Carl, please come back again and we'll continue to talk about your love guru-ness.
Yeah. Okay. We have to cut it short now. Can you believe this was 20 minutes?
Yeah. Actually longer. 23 minutes or something.
23 minutes.
We're going to have you back on. We'll continue to talk about all this.
Pick
Thank
your
you for
brain.
Coming. Do you have anything that you want to share with us? What are you up to? Are you doing anything special these days?
Do you have a commercial running right now?
Oh, I don't know if it is running or not.
Well, you just shot one.
Famous. Yeah, I just shot one for famous. Nike.
Famous. You just shot one for Nike.
Nike.
You shot it here. And
nice.
You're in a show at the Acme
Yes,
Comedy.
Right. Yeah. With you guys.
Yeah.
That's right. The Acme Comedy
at the Acme, it's called Scott and Friends.
Nice.
We're Side Effects.
Nice.
And we're having a ball.
We are.
It is so much fun.
You can find tickets on acme.com. Is that correct?
Acmetheater.com.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to put a link up for the video. You can actually watch video of previous shows.
Oh, that's right.
You can watch them on the web. They stream it live and they show it afterwards.
Oh,
so we'll put it's up on YouTube.
Have you watched them?
I have watched some of the stuff. So.
Have we done the second show?
It's actually all horrible. Very bad stuff. Just kidding. It's great.
Okay.
So that's it. Yeah.
Take us out, Brian.
Carl, thank you very much. On behalf of Robert Scheid and Gregory Hoyt.
Oh.
My name is Brian Gerard. We are the Scheid Show.
Yay.
Yay.